of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, I'd like to tell you a little bit about some of the changes we're making at the 9 o'clock service and then draw our attention to this Paschal candle that is standing right beside me. You might ask yourself, why do I need to know what's happening at the 9 o'clock service? But at a church this size, it's just big enough that if you go to the 8 or the 9 or the 11 regularly, we hear kind of that regular lament that don't know anybody that goes to the other services. It's almost like we have three different congregations, which is sort of certainly not our goal. So one of the ways to breach that is to talk to you about some of the things that are going on just a couple of hours before you got here. The 9 o'clock service, it's not certainly not our children's service. We have children in both the 9 and 11 quite regularly, but it certainly has a higher population of young families and children that come to that service. And so we decided to make a few changes just the second Sunday of each month. Beginning today, on the second Sunday of each month, and the months that we have a fifth Sunday, we made a few little changes like this. One is that we invited families with young children to come sit close to the front. Chris discovered this because Chris has been a single mom in the pew for the 20 years of our children's lives. And she discovered long ago that keeping those two rambunctious boys engaged in the worship service was its own kind of challenge. It went better if she was sitting on the front row. They could see. They could see what was going on. They could see everybody. They could hear the choir well. And there was a personal reason as well. That got the boys within the range of daddy vibe. You know, that quiet communication that you can do. It stops about pew 3. You know, it won't reach beyond that. But on the front row, I could communicate with my little fellas pretty well. She never had that problem with Caroline for whatever reason. So that was one reason. But the other reason is it gets the kids here. They can see what's going on. The second thing is, and we ask them to stay throughout the service. Now, as you know, as in this service, we have children's chapel, and we do not intend on doing away with that. For theological reasons, it is very important for children to be able to engage the scriptures in an age-appropriate way. And we know some old guy standing in the pulpit talking to children is not the most effective way to communicate with them. And so we take them to Children's Chapel, a beautiful liturgical space where they hear the lessons and they listen to someone speak to them, particularly Miss Lisa, in an age-appropriate way so that they can engage that lesson. So we're not doing away with that. But on this one Sunday a month, we are asking them to stay in church. And to help engage that, we are going to preach, and did, preach on the floor and try to preach a sermon in a way that helps engage both children and adults in what we're talking about here in the nave. To do so, we're going to focus on some of the objects that we use in worship that draw our attention into the love and grace of God. And so we'll come to that in just a moment. The next thing that we've done is we've brought our portable altar out and put it at the top of the step inside the chancel so that they can see what's going on. Again, so everyone in the church can see what's going on. We have a beautiful portable altar that Randy Shoreman built for us. We use it at the blessing of the animals and when we go to the park or for any other mobile event that we have, but it fits just nicely right between the modesty rails and the choir, and we celebrated the Eucharist there and invited the children at least to participate as the priest does the hand motions, have the children do them as well so that they're engaged in the act of worship. It's also putting the altar there and having the priest around behind the altar engages the prayer book theology from the 1979 prayer book, which is by having a priest behind the altar facing the congregation, we are joined with Jesus and his disciples at that Last Supper. We can imagine ourselves around the table with Jesus and his friends celebrating this meal together. And so it feels more like a meal that we offer together in remembrance of Christ. So we're doing those things. The Paschal candle is the thing that we started with. Now, I won't make you do this, but at 9, I said, Paschal candle, everyone say Paschal candle, right? Or the Christ candle, right? It's a Christ candle. We use it at baptisms, and we use it during the great 50 days of Easter. It's the new fire at the great vigil of Easter, the queen of all liturgies. We light that fire and we light the paschal candle and we process in and we shout the light of Christ, and the congregation responds, thanks be to God. We do that three different times. It's also what we do at baptisms, just like last week. We light a baptism candle off of the paschal candle. We give it to the person baptized and say to them, the light of Christ. And we say, thanks be to God. But we have more than one candle in this room, don't we? So if we look around, there's candles all over the place. We got the beautiful candelabras up on the high altar. We have the two candles on the altar, and when they're positioned that way, they remind us of the old and new covenant. We have the torches that are on the sides of that. And you'll notice liturgically, the torches always walk with the gospel. So when the gospel procession comes, the gospel is between the torches, very clearly saying, Jesus is the light of the world. This is the word of God. This is what enlightens our heart. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, the light of Christ. It's a very redundant theme. And we do it over and over and over to keep our attention focused on this reality that Jesus is the light of the world. It's a pretty amazing thing. And when said like that, it's actually the most important thing in the world. We believe that in the person of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, that the light of God, the love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness of God is with us always, like a burning candle, and can never be quenched. Because you know what? We are not too keen on the dark, are we? When I was in seminary, one of my jobs was to work for the Swanee Outing Club, and that was when you took college students on backpacking trips and rock climbing trips and cave exploring, and there are lots of caves in Swanee. And so we took them around in all these caves, and of course you get muddy and you crawl through holes barely bigger than your body, and you go into all these cool, cavernous places. And on every cave trip I ever took college students on, we would get back into the bowels of the earth. And there we would sit, and we would get everyone safe, seated on the rocks, and then say, turn off your lights. And there we would sit in utter darkness, true darkness. And it never went more than 60 seconds until somebody just couldn't stand it any longer, and on came the lights. We don't do darkness very well. It's spiritually true as well. Spiritual darkness is the most frightening thing, isn't it? The prospect of spiritual darkness, of being away from the light of God, is perhaps the most frightening prospect in the world. But we say that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. What that means is, no matter how dark it is, wherever you might actually find yourself, the light of Christ is there. You may actually live in real darkness. You may have lost your sight. And in that, the light of Christ is present in your life. You may be in a beautiful, light-filled life all the time right now. Emotionally, spiritually, you're feeling good. But that light permeates from the heart of God. Or you may be walking a dark and frightening path where things are dangerous and uncertain. And when that is the case, the light of Christ guides your way. The light of Christ cannot be quenched, ever. No matter what life throws at you, no matter what journey you have to walk, no matter the uncertainty and fear and danger of our lives, the light of Christ is always present. That is a remarkable thing, isn't it? Look at this altar. Look at all of this light on all the sides, and look what's standing right between it. Jesus himself, right between. Jesus is the light of the world. But it doesn't stop there. Because Jesus himself claimed that he was the light of the world, but then he turned and said, "And you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." And at 9, I made them turn and say to the person next to them, "Say you are the light of the world." They didn't like that too much, I have to say. You are the light of the world. That means that no matter where you go, you not only are in the presence of the light of Christ, but you bear the light of Christ with you when you go. So we, in our desire to be like Christ, are called to go into all of the beautiful and lovely, but also all of the dark and scary places in the universe and bring the light of Christ with us. To say, we know there is a light that will permeate this darkness, and there is no darkness that can overcome it. If you would take out your hymnals, it's the blue book in the pew in front of you. Turn to hymn 490. Hymn 490, and this is where I invited the parents or the adults around the children to put their finger on these words, push them along so the children can follow that finger. I actually think this is part of the way I learned to read. I really do. I remember as a child sitting next to my mom, who was also a single mom in the pew, and she would just push her fingers along the words of the Bible or along the words of the hymnal, just a little beyond where we were, so that my eyes would follow and know where we were. And then over the time, I began to recognize words and then began to sing along. Hymnal is a great theological work. And in this hymn, we are saying exactly the same thing that John tells us, that Jesus is the light of the world. If you have children next to you, run your finger along this first verse. I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. And then if you want to, sing it with me. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. Thanks be to God.